We started lesson three out of this series, and it talked about, it was entitled, When Your Beliefs Are Belittled. How when the world is indoctrinating you into their, and trying to indoctrinate you into their system of beliefs, how do you remain faithful to what you believe and faithful to your God? And there are many ways in which the world will try to indoctrinate us. One is through school and through learning and all of that. But we know that that we have to stand strong for the Lord, and that is the goal. And this is the highlight of this lesson here. So let's pray, and we'll I'll give you a recap of where we left off, and then we'll pick it back up on the outline. Let's pray together. Most gracious and eternal Father, we love and thank you so much. Thank you for the opportunity to learn your truth. Thank you for your word, because we realize, oh God, that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. We are grateful because we know that it is through your word that we're able to stand strong. And as we study your word through the life of Daniel today, we pray that you help us to have unshakable faith and learning how to thrive no matter what life throws at us. So we thank you, Lord. Bless now as only you can. Stand in my body, think with my mind, speak with my voice, touch these lips of clay that I may be able again to edify your people. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen. Listen, we talked last week, a couple of weeks ago, on, you know, this, every time, you know, before God can trust you with certain areas of life, he puts us through tests, and we'll see that in the life of Daniel. Daniel went through, again, a series of tests in his life, and God continued to promote him from one level to the next, because Daniel seemed to just pass most of the tests, if not all the tests that God put in his life. And when we come to this lesson, it's the ideal that we have to learn how, when the world is indoctrinating us, trying to indoctrinate us to what they believe, how do we, again, stand strong? How do we remain faithful to our God? And those of you who remember our lesson from a couple of weeks ago, we highlighted the fact of where we talked about how in the Great Commandment it says, love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. How do you love God with all of your mind? And one of the ways we do that is by continuing to develop our mind, continuing to learn, not wasting our mind and educating our mind. And there are so many ways that we can do that in the world and in the society in which we live, through college and reading books and other stuff. And we highlighted a couple of verses, and that on your outline, Proverbs 19:8, out of today's English version, do yourself a favor and learn all you can, then remember what you learn, and you'll prosper. That ideal of prosper is the ideal of success, the ideal of learning all you can, and trying to grasp knowledge and wisdom and all of that. It says, and you will prosper. We do ourselves a favor. I like that, because it says you're doing yourself good when you do your best to learn as much as you can. And that other verse that says, always remember what you learn, and that's Proverbs chapter 4, verse 13. Your education is your life, so guard it well. In other words, what we take in really, in essence, becomes who we are. And we'll talk more about that a little later on. But, you know, that's the ideal of knowledge is power. That's where that came from. Knowledge is power. And we want We want to do ourselves a favor and gain as much knowledge on various subjects as we can. And so the Bible says in that verse, we got to guard it well. Guard what you learn. Guard your mind. In other words, when you're talking about your mind and your heart. Guard it well. You know, it's important. It's not just something that we flippantly come to the table with. We wanna be educated. We wanna learn, and all of that. And God says, guard it. Become a lifelong student, and guard your education. One version says it like this: keep hold of instruction. You know, that's the ideal of guarding it. Hold fast to the instruction you've been taught. And there are, you know, we've learned life lessons, and we got to hold to those things. Things that grandmama taught us and mama taught us and daddy taught us and stuff we learned in Sunday school and in church. Hold it. Guard it well. And we'll see that in the life of our brother Daniel. And so this third test that he's going through really was a challenge to his faith, because those of you know, the king had already suggested that they get the best, the brightest, the most beautiful, and you'll see that in the first chapter of Daniel, and they were going to indoctrinate them into the Babylonian culture and society. They were going to give them what they thought was a Babylonian, what was a Babylonian education, what really was centered in mythology and magic and soothsaying and all of that. And you'll come to see when you read the first chapter of Daniel that Daniel and his three homies thrived in this education. They were going to be indoctrinated for 3 years, and afterwards they were going to be assessed and then assigned as counselors to the king. And the Bible says that they excelled. And you'll see that in verse 17. It says, and this is Daniel 1, verse 17. It says, and these for you, God gave them learning and skills and all literature and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding and all visions and dreams. God gave them understanding. He gave them learning and skills. This was God who allowed them to learn all of this stuff about the Babylonian culture and the Chaldeans. All of that they learned, which was, you know, magic and soothsaying and all that stuff. And it says that Daniel excelled. But here's the thing that we got to realize. Yet Daniel excelled in all of the worldly teaching, and yet he remained faithful to his God, remained faithful to his belief, indoctrinated for 3 years and learning all this stuff. And when you read verse 18, watch this, at the end of the time, watch what he says. When the king had commanded that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king spoke with them. This is verse 19. Watch this. And among all of them, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Y'all know them as Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And therefore they stood before the king. That is the ideal of their appointment. And in every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and the enchanters that were in his kingdom. And Daniel was there until the first year of King Cyrus. Get that. They were found 10 times better. Daniel excelled in this Babylonian indoctrination, and yet the text suggests, we'll see it, he remained faithful to his God. How did he do that? How do you excel and not lose your faith? That's where we were headed on last week, a couple of weeks ago. And we hit the first point, and where it says, and I gave you that blank decide in advance to stand for God. That's what we learned from Daniel, because when you read verse 8, it says Daniel made up in his mind not to defile himself. The idea also was of them eating of the king's table and eating of the king's food, but he made up in his mind. Get that? That's the first lesson, that when you're learning all this stuff from the world and what the world system of things, we have to make up in our mind that we are going to stand for God. We're going to stand for God in advance. You're going to work, you're going to school, you're going out into to the world, and we got to make up in our mind that we're going to take a stand for God. That's what Daniel did. We see that in verse 8 of chapter 1. He made up his mind not to defile himself. And I like the way the English Standard Version reads. It says, but Daniel resolved that he would not. He resolved. He from Jump Street. It wasn't no, he wasn't playing with it. I'm going to stand for God no matter what they throw at me. And so when we come to our jobs and the world and school and all this other stuff, we got to make sure that we make up our mind that we going to make a stand for God. That's all the stuff we learned in church. That's all the stuff we learned in Sunday school. And that's all the stuff that we learned in fellowship and in community. We learn to love God and trust God and learn to walk with God. And so as we go out into the world, we got to first make up our mind that we're not going to allow the world to indoctrinate us. We're going to stand for God. That's what Daniel did. That's what we have to do when the world challenges our faith. I hope you hear me on that. And the world will challenge your faith, challenge what you believe. And you got to make sure that that you stand for it. I like that Proverbs in the Message Bible. It says, start with God. The first step in learning is bowing down to God. Only fools thumb their nose at such wisdom. Only fools thumb their nose at such wisdom. He made up in his mind that he's going to stand for God, and you know, he resolved that no matter what, he was going to stand. His premise of everything started with God. Okay, I'm learning this stuff. I'm getting this stuff. They're trying to indoctrinate me into what they think and how they think. And all of it wasn't bad. You know, we get some good stuff from the Babylonians. But it was anti the real God. You know, they trusted in stars. And they wanted to read the stars and see, you know, what the stars had to say. But for you and I, we want to read the book of the one who made the stars. I wish somebody would help me preach, Reese. I think I just did right there. But listen, so the idea is that he started with God. Proverbs 15:33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. You'll see that. Proverbs, reverent on your outline, reverence for the Lord is an education in and of itself. That's a different version. It's the idea of the fear of the Lord. Reverence for God is the beginning or the instruction of wisdom. When we learn to reverence God, there is a God, and he is not an absentee God. He interacts in the lives of his children. He is a personal God that we know, we can know and we can talk to, and that's the ideal. And we reverence him because he is our creator God, and he is our God by redemption. He's our God by creation. He created us, but he is also our God as a Christian because of by redemption. He redeemed us on Calvary. We believe that and trust that. And now we are who we are, and we know what we know, and we believe what we believe simply because of our relationship with God. So our premise must start with God. Reverence for God is the instruction of wisdom. So we gave you that first point, and then the second point on that outline was to never stop learning. Leaders are learners. We got to learn. We got to keep learning. And the moment we stop growing, whether in our business, in our organization, our ministry, you listen, that ministry or that person, we stop growing. The moment we stop learning, we stop growing. So we should be lifelong learners. We should have a lifelong thirst for learning. And wise men are always learners. You see that in the Message Bible, Proverbs 18, verse 15. Wise men and women are always learners, always listening for insight. I like that in the English Standard Version, it says, intelligent heart inquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. The ideal is that if we want to learn, we got to be listening for knowledge. We got to be listening for knowledge, for what is truth. And so we got to be never stop learning. Don't ever give up on learning. We want to learn as much as we can. That's why the Bible says to study ourselves approved, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That is what Paul told young Timothy. And God wants us to study. So we got to be learners. We got to be learners. He wants us studying. I'll get to that. You know, that's what the ideal of being a disciple is. A disciple in the Greek literally is to be a learner. It is to be someone who is learning. So if we are disciples of Christ, we gotta be learning. So never stop learning. We got to the ideal of knowledge and wisdom. Those who get wisdom do themselves a favor, and those who love learning will succeed. The ideal there is that you got to know the difference between knowledge and wisdom. You got to know the difference between knowledge and wisdom. And this is how, if we're going to be lifelong learners, we can get all of this knowledge. And knowledge on your outline says that it's information gained from education and experience. That's knowledge. You can get all kind of knowledge. And I believe that's what Daniel did. He got the knowledge, all this knowledge from the Chaldeans and the Babylonians. He got, on all this mythological, magical stuff and reading the stars and all of that. But I believe Daniel had wisdom, not just knowledge. And the difference is wisdom is seeing and responding from God's point of view. See, when you get knowledge, you can get all this knowledge, but wisdom says, how do I apply the knowledge that I got? Whether or not the knowledge that I've gotten is truth based upon what my first premise is, which is God himself. If I get this knowledge, does wisdom helps me to apply it from God's point of view? Not from my own point of view, but from God's point of view. And so that's what wisdom. I got to learn the difference between knowledge. I can get all this knowledge. That's why it's so dangerous for us to be focusing on stuff we read on the internet, and we don't have wisdom on how to apply that kind of thing. You know, there's a lot of stuff that's out there, and you can read it, and you got this knowledge that you just read. But who's to say? How do you apply that? How do you apply that against the Word of God? And that's wisdom. Real wisdom only comes from God. It's seeing it from God's perspective and learning how to apply that knowledge that we acquire. You can get knowledge from a book. You only get wisdom from God, and because God is all-wise and all-knowing. Some people have a whole lot of knowledge, but they can be, I'm sorry to say it like this, they can be educated fools. And we see that a lot of times in the world. You got a whole lot of smart people, got a whole lot of knowledge. But the Bible says the one that says there is no God, you know, that's what that determines whether or not a person is a fool. You know, he who says there is no God, you know, and so we got, you know, we got, because when you come to grabbing all of this knowledge, what we need is wisdom on how to apply it. Because when you start to experience things in life, you got to know how to apply these experiences from the right perspective, from God's perspective. I mean, such as death. I told you last time, how do you apply death if you don't apply the wisdom of God? Otherwise, after this world is over and we close our eyes for the last time on here, if it wasn't for God, we would think that is absolutely it. But when we come from the perspective that when I pass, I still live on because I live on with God, that's applying death that we know is going to happen. But as a Christian, we view it as that we are going to one day live with the Lord. And so death does not end us. Grave for the believer is not the end. But those who don't believe in God or trust God, and they have no hope after death, so they got to live their life now. And everything is about what they can accumulate, what they can achieve, what they can do now, because for them, there is no afterlife. For us, we believe that, you know, this is not the end of my life. So what we do is we lay up treasures in heaven. Not here on earth, we lay up treasures in heaven where moth and rust does not destroy. Am I making any sense? I hope I am. And so we got to never stop learning. Our goal is to get knowledge, but also we want wisdom. And those verses there help us to understand the importance of wisdom in our life. That Proverbs 19, verse 8, those who get wisdom do themselves a favor. Those who get wisdom do themselves a favor. And those who love learning will succeed, will prosper. Those who get wisdom, we do ourselves a magnificent favor when our goal is not just to get knowledge, but we want wisdom. How do I apply all of this knowledge that I got in this from the world? Daniel did that. And here's the key, I believe, for Daniel. And this is the third point, and that is to steep yourself in the Word of God. You got to make sure that you decide in advance that you're going to stand for God. Don't ever stop learning, you know, and learn. The ideal is that we want to get wisdom, not just knowledge. So don't stop learning. Our goal is how do I apply this stuff that I get. The third thing is we got to steep ourselves in the Word of God. Get this. I got to know what God says, not just what I believe. And I think it's implied in Daniel's life because he was able to stand strong in areas of his life simply because he knew the Lord for himself. And it seems as if Daniel knew the Lord intimately. He knew God intimately. And if we're going to know God intimately, we got to steep ourselves in the Word of God. If I want to succeed in education, in life, in everything with honors, I got to steep as a believer. I got to steep myself in the Word of God. That word, that ideal of steep means I got to soak or saturate or immerse myself in the Word of God, like a tea bag. You drop yourself, you know, that tea is immersed in that hot water. And that's what we got to do with the Word of God. We got to immerse ourselves in the hot water so that it can, the hot water of the Word, amen, so that it can bring out of us what God has put in us. So time with God is of essence. We need to read the Bible every day. We need to memorize the Bible. And I've got questions sort of like, you know, they're asking me why, Pastor, why do you have Perseus reading Psalm 67 every time we come into worship? And, you know, I want us to memorize it. I want us to get that in our heart. when it comes to the word of God. Let God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, that thy way may be known upon the earth, thy saving help among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. You see what I'm saying? You learn that. But when you got to memorize that word, you got to put that word in our heart, because there are times where we're going to need the word of God in everyday life. So I believe that the one of the ways that we stand strong is we immerse ourselves. When the world's trying to indoctrinate us, we stand strong and immerse ourselves in the word of God. That means we got to. And that's the Joshua verse on your outline. Joshua, study God's word continually, meditate on it day and night, so that you may be sure to obey all that is written in it. If you do, you will prosper and be successful. You will succeed. You will prosper and be a success if we meditate on it. I like what he says. Meditate on it day and night. So if we're going to stand strong in the faith, we got to saturate ourselves in the word of God. We got to be knee deep in the word of God so that we can stand strong in our faith. That means we got to read every day. We got to study every day. We got to meditate on God's word. The question I've got to ask you is, do you know what it means to meditate? What does it mean to meditate on God's word? Does it mean that we're sitting in some lotus position, allowing our mind to not think on anything, and where we're sitting there going, this is not some Eastern meditation. This is not what he's talking about, where we just sit in silent and we humming ourselves to sleep. That's not meditating on the word of God. Meditate on it simply means to think on it continuously. I got a verse and I'm meditating on that verse that is in my mind and in my heart, and I'm meditating on it, and that once I meditate on it, it becomes a part of me. So we got to read it, and that means sometimes, that's why I like the Bible talks about, put it on your doorpost and put the word here, and put, you got to paste the word sometimes on your wall and on your mirror and other places so you can think on it and meditate on it, and that is the ideal meditate on it. On your outline, watch what it says, because when you take a verse and you think about it over and over, when you think about God's word and you're steeped in it, it's getting every ounce of nourishment and nutrition and flavor out of that verse. Think about it, that Psalm 6:7 we recite every Sunday. God be merciful unto us and bless us, and cause your face to shine upon us. When you start thinking about that, God be merciful unto us. Here we are entering into worship, and we hear and we shout together, God be merciful unto us. It makes you think, Lord, of all that could have happened, I didn't have to be here. God be merciful unto us. And while you're being merciful unto us, God bless us. And not only that, Lord, cause your face to shine upon us, that your way may be known upon the earth. Get that verse, that your way. Bless us. Why, God? That your way may be known upon the earth, thy saving help among all people. Then he goes on to say, let the people praise thee, O God. Matter of fact, let all the people praise you. He says, when that happens, then the earth shall yield her increase, that we will get out of this world what we're supposed to get out of. That's the ideal of meditating on the verses that we're reading. We're not just haphazardly standing up to read a verse. No, this ideal is for us to think about what this verse says. And that is the way we do it when we come to being steeped in God's word. We want to meditate on it so that it saturates our mind, so that that verse becomes a part of us, so that we get the full flavor of that verse. That's meditating. Are you hearing me? I like this on your outline. It says, I must put this in the blank. I must learn the truth in order to discern the lies. If you don't know God's word, when all this the world is throwing stuff at you, watch this. If you don't know the truth of God's word, you're not going to be able to discern the lies. You know how the government teaches people to recognize counterfeit money. They don't show them counterfeit money. They show them real money. They show them a real $20 bill. They show them a real $15 bill. They show them a real $10 bill and a real $100 bill. They don't show them the fake. They immerse them into what the real deal looks like, so that when a fake comes along, you're like, this ain't even real. Now, I don't know. We in the news, all in the news about Floyd and this fake $20 bill and all of that, you know. Perhaps you recognize it, you recognize the fake, hear that, when you know the real deal, Holyfield, I guess, I don't know. You learn that. So the ideal is you got to know the truth in order to discern the lies. And if we don't know the truth of God's word, that's why it's so important when we talk about doctrine and theology and knowing what we believe, because you got to know what is true, and you got to know how to interpret the Bible and all of that stuff to understand what real truth is. And that's why we study to show ourselves approved. And workmen that need not be ashamed. You want to be able to discern the phony and the false and that which is anti-God. We got to know what God's word says as the truth. We got to study and meditate on the real thing. Are you listening to me? Watch your outline. It says, your commandments give me great understanding. It's no wonder that I can see and hate every false way of life. Your commandments give me understanding. It's no wonder that I can see and I can discern, in other words, what is false. Your commandments, I hope y'all see that, give me great understanding. That way I see that which is wrong, that which is false, because I'm immersed in God's commandments. Get that, beloved. We can't see it. We can't discern it if we don't know the truth. We can't discern lies unless we know the truth. That is the whole idea of understanding apologetics, and that is discerning what is true and what is theologically correct and what is right, so that we can discern when somebody stands up and gives us false information. Even preachers off in their theology, but if we don't know the Bible, we miss it. We miss it. I hope you hear me, because I hope you need to know God didn't put you on planet Earth so that you can name it and claim it and blab it and grab it in the name of Jesus. No, there's going to be some suffering. If you read the Bible right, there's going to be some suffering. There's going to be some difficult days. There's going to be some challenges in our life. And God is going to ask us with those challenges that he wants us to stand strong in the faith. That's why we're reading 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, to be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that as you go through these trials and tribulations, keep serving, keep doing what you're doing, because your labor is not in vain. And although you may not see it on this side completely, you're laying up treasures on the other side. So we got to be steadfast. But if you listen to some of the preachers, you're going to always be happy. You're going to always be smiling. And if you just have enough faith You know, well, that sounds good, but sometimes faith will take you to some difficult places. I'm playing my violin right here because y'all ain't listening to me. Faith will take you to some difficult places. Trusting God will take you to some difficult places. I know I'm right about it. So we got to discern what is true. And so your commandments give me great understanding is what he says. I'm not listening to what man says or public opinion or what culture says. I'm listening to what God says. Your commandments is the ones that give me understanding. It's not what everybody else thinks. It's not what CNN thinks. It's not what Fox News thinks. It's not what these my horoscope thinks. Hello, somebody. But it is, what does God think about this? He's the one that gives me understanding. And so I know that Daniel learned all kinds of stuff, and that's okay, but he was mature enough to handle the stuff. Our problem is, and not you, is just Pookie, Ray Ray, Mama, and them, and Little Earl. I ain't talking about you. I'm talking about Pookie, Ray Ray, Mama, and them, and Little Earl, is that we'll read something and automatically believe it because it sounds true. It simply means this, that we may not be mature enough spiritually to handle that kind of stuff. Because if you believe in everything you read, and don't please, I'm going James Brown on you. I wish I had a cape to put on. And please don't believe everything you read on the internet. Don't. You got to be mature enough to decipher what is true and what is not true, but that means you got to immerse ourselves in the Word of God. And if I immerse myself in the Word of God, listen, that may mean less screen time. You know, you can be on your phone. We can be on our phone playing games and other stuff. I mean, it may mean less TV time. It may mean, We spend less time in the Word of God and more time watching television. And we want to watch our shows and we want to watch this and we want to watch that, but we're giving God only a little bit of time. How are we going to discern truth if we're not immersed into the Word of God? Can I just say turn off the TV and put the iPhone down? Hello, somebody. Put the iPad down. And don't be saying, well, yeah, this is where I do my study. Well, you can't study on your iPad and playing the games at the same time. Words for friends and you know all this stuff that we got on it. No, yeah. Get yourself where you can meditate on the Word of God. Immerse yourself in the Word of God. And we got to be steeped into the Word of God. That means turn the TV. That's your assignment for this week. Turn the TV off. I dare you to read the Bible more than you watch TV this week. I dare you to read your Bible and meditate on the Word more than you are on your phone. I know you got to check your Facebook, but I think we need our face in the book. I like that. We don't need to be on Facebook, Instagram. We need our face in the book. And so we gotta be able to do that. So the ideal there is a wise person is hungry for truth. It says, but while fools feed on trash. The English Standard Version says, the heart of him who has understanding seeks knowledge, but the mouth of fools feed on folly. We just feeding on that which is not going to amount to anything. But those who are wise, listen, who they seek knowledge. You know, those who want to understand, they seek knowledge, and they're not just feeding on that which is not going to amount to anything. I'm learning that, you know, I don't care how many games you play on your phone, it ain't gonna amount to much. It ain't laying up treasures in heaven. You can play Words for Friend and beat all your friends and all of that stuff. And those young people, y'all can be on Instagram and TikTok. And some, you know, you may you may get a whole lot of followers, and because you got a whole lot of followers, you now can make money on TikTok and all that stuff. But listen, I want to challenge you to make sure that you're not spending more time in on the screen than we are in the book. Does that make sense? So we don't want to feed on folly. We want to feed on something that has substance. We want to immerse ourselves in the Word of God. Number four, so number three is steep myself in God's Word. Number four is choose believers as my best friends. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were homeboys to Daniel. Azariah, Hananiah, and Mishael, they were all friends. Azariah, they were all friends, good friends of Daniel. And if we want to stand strong in our faith, we gotta make sure that our closest friends are believers. Hello, somebody. You know, Daniel did not make it through this indoctrination period alone. He had friends. He had homeboys that was with him. You know, Hananiah, Shadrach, and Mishael. He had friends, the right kind of friends. And I'm sure that they supported one another in what was right. These four young men stood out. And the Bible says in that verse 17, 18 of first chapter Daniel that they were 10 times better. 10 times. And I don't know how they came up with that number, 10 times better. Did they test them and they got 10 more answers correctly or whatever, as opposed to the others? But the Bible gives indication that it was 10, they were 10 times. Simply gives an exaggeration of that they were way far better than the others. And these four boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel, they were all, and so if we're going to stand strong in our faith, listen, we do not stand alone. Can I just tell you, everybody needs somebody. Can I just tell you that even the Lone Ranger had Tonto? We all need friends that believe what we believe. We all need friends that trust in the same God that we trust in. But does that mean that we can't be friends with somebody who doesn't believe? No, that doesn't mean that. But that means that if we're going to be close to people, our closest ought to be believers. Now, you're friends with people who are not believers simply because your goal is to try to win them to Christ. Your goal is try to live better, be better, so that they can see that your God is real. So if you got cousins and you got friends and you got folk in your family that don't believe, that don't mean you can't hang with them, you can't be their friend, but if you're going, you just can't hang with them all the time, because they're going to be doing stuff that as believers that we cannot do or should not do. Can I say it like that? We shouldn't do. So our closest friends ought to be believers so that we are building each other up. And what we need, I believe, in Daniel's case, he had these brothers, they were building each other up. And we need people in our life that's going to build us up and not tear us down. Because let me ask you this. What is easier, to pull somebody up or to pull someone down? Pulling them down. It's easy to pull them down. Yeah, hey, you know, pull them down. But pulling them up, you know, and so that's where we got to realize is that if we hanging with folk that's going to pull us down to their level for the most part, it's easier to do that. But what we want is people that are thinking like we think, living like we living, and trying to live like we trying to live, and be where we want to be so that we're all helping each other to lift each other up higher. But if you're hanging with folk that are not trying to do that and not trying to live on a certain level, then they're really going to pull you down. If you go out in a white suit, like, you know, we used to wear white on Sundays. Our mothers and everybody wore white on Sunday. If they went out in their white and played in the mud, are they going to turn the mud white, or is the mud gonna turn that white suit? Yeah, you already know the answer. So we gotta be careful, you know. We gotta ask ourselves this, who do we wanna be in 10 years? If we wanna be stronger in the Lord, more mature in the faith, if we wanna be knowing God's word, then listen, you can tell who we're going to be in 10 years by the people we hang with and, watch this, by the stuff we read or watch on TV. You can tell. I can tell who a person going to be in 10 years by who they're hanging with and what they are watching on television or reading. You can tell. If I want to be something, I need to hang with folk who going to take me higher. And that way, because good morals, you know, it's in the Bible. It says bad morals corrupt good character. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. In other words, if I'm hanging around folk that's just doing everything, eventually it's going to, you know, mess me up for what I'm trying to be. But if in 10 years I want to be mature, I want to grow in Christ, I want to be able to understand God's word, then I got to hang with folk who are ascribing some of the similar stuff. And I got to be careful about what I read and what I let in my mind. What I let in my mind. And I got to guard my mind and my heart. Are you listening to me? How do I select my friends? And this is just free. First of all, you got to be intentional. You know, you ought to seek out people that, you know, you'd rather hang with, because you see that they're trying. You see that they're growing. You see that they're striving. You see that they're pushing. You see that they're trying to mature themselves in Christ. They're not perfect, praise God, because if you hang around perfect people, listen, don't hang around them long, because you're going to mess them up. Hello, somebody. We don't hang around people who claim to be perfect. I need to hang with folk who are striving just like me, who are trying just like me. They ain't arrived yet, but we trying. Are you listening to me? So the ideal is we got to be intentional. When it comes to this, I believe Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel, I really, this is my sanctified imagination. I believe that they sought each other out. They figured out who was really trying to live for God in the midst of this Babylonian captivity. And then when they found out that they were going to select them to be indoctrinated into the Babylonian teaching and culture, and after 3 years, I believe they gravitated toward each other because of their relationship with Christ. And I believe, and now the text doesn't suggest it, the text just says that they were friends and they were together. That's what it gives the indication to, but I believe that they were intentional. Okay, Shadrach, man, you see Shadrach? He really trying to do this. You see him? Abednego, you know, I know, you know, those were their Babylonian names, but, you know, Azariah, Mishael, and Hananiah. You see Hananiah over there? Look at him. He really trying to do this thing. You know? They really trying to get this thing together. And so I believe they gravitated. They were intentional. And then I believe, beloved, that, you know, not only do we have to be strategic and intentional when it comes to our friends, you got to be careful about it. You got to be intentional about it. But also, we need to be wise about our friends. In other words, don't just say whoever I happen to hang out with is my friend. No, you got to be wise about that. We got to choose our friends wisely. Oh, my God, today. Got to be wise about that. Here's what the Bible says. Because some folk, I told you, some folk are just fools. You got to be careful. I don't mean to be calling nobody a fool, but it's just how, you know, some stuff going. Watch what the Bible says about how to stay away. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 7 says, stay away from fools, or you won't learn a thing. Watch what Watch what Psalms 53, verse 1 says. A fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Watch what Proverbs 10, verse 8 says. The wise of heart will receive commandments. It says, but a babbling fool will come to ruins. See, I'm not calling anybody a fool, but the Bible says you can get clear indication of how to choose your friends based upon some of the stuff that he has written in his word. Watch Proverbs chapter 10, verse 18. Whoever hides hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. If you got gossipers and folk who are lying on folk, he said, you got to be careful about those. Watch verse 23 of chapter 10 in Proverbs chapter 10. It says, to do evil is like sport to a fool. And if you got a cat you're hanging with and they just doing evil, and it's like sport. They like playing basketball. They can just do it and they sleep. Here it is. It says, watch what it says. But a man of understanding has wisdom. Watch Proverbs 12, verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. See, I'm not indicating somebody's a fool or not, but all I'm saying is that the Bible has clear indication that there are things that we can identify so that we can make sure we're hanging out with the right people. If they gossiping, if they lying, if they are running toward evil, and not walking, they running, amen, toward, I mean, you got to be careful about hanging with that. Watch what Proverbs 17, this is one I really love. Proverbs 17, verse 12. It says, let a man meet a bear robbed of her cubs. It says, rather than a fool in his folly. Let a man meet an angry mama bear because somebody done stole her cubs, rather than to meet a man in his folly. And, I'd rather meet a bear, a mama bear. And y'all know mama bear, somebody done stole her cubs. She finna tear whoever she see up to get her cubs back. But he says, I'd rather meet the mama bear. I'd rather meet the mama bear than meet a fool in his folly. We're simply suggesting that we got to be careful about who we hang with, because we can't hang with everybody. And I've learned that lesson. You can't hang with everybody, because everybody ain't trying to lead you into the right direction. Are you hearing me? You know? And watch this verse. This is even for our parents. I got two boys in college right now. Watch what Proverbs 17, verse 16 said. It is senseless to pay tuition to educate a fool who has no heart, watch this, for wisdom. If my boys did not exemplify that they're going to school to learn, and they're trying to get an education, and they're trying to better themselves, if they didn't indicate that to me or their mother, then I am not obligated to pay for their tuition. If they want to go to school just to have fun, and when they go off to school, they get half crazy. Amen, somebody. It happened on every college campus, and you see a whole lot of stuff going on. But listen, my job is not to educate a fool. Hello, somebody. And I'm not trying to pay tuition for a child who is not going to go to school and who's going to do right by that education. I hope that makes sense. And I done told my boys, if you want to do this on your own, there are certain things you're going to have to do. You're going to have to bring them grades home. I know college is fun and you're going to have fun, but you better get them grades. You better get that degree. And if you go in there playing and you want my money, I'm playing the violin right here because some of y'all parents, y'all got them kids at school and they acting the fool. And the moment my children start acting the fool, the moment that tuition is going to be cut off, because I ain't just throwing good money for a bad education. I could take Lisa to the Bahamas or somewhere, or to Jamaica, or to Paris, and we could be on the Eiffel Tower. I don't know if you can get on the Eiffel Tower, but that's where I would want to be. Amen. Under the Eiffel Tower, somewhere, and I'm paying tuition to somebody who's not. Watch the verse. Read that. Post it on your, when you got little kids, start posting that on your mirror. It's senseless to pay tuition to educate a fool who has no heart for wisdom. And you can tell if they're serious about it. Are you listening to me? So that's on your verse. Choose believers as your best friend. Watch what it says. It says, fools show their stupidity by the way they live. It's easy to see they have no sense. That's just plain as day. Watch this. The happiest people. Watch Psalms 1. Blessed are the people. Blessed are they who walk, who do not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. That's that verse, that last verse there, and that is the Message Bible there. But Psalms 1, verse 1 and 2 says, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. He says, if you want that, that word blessed is another word, can be interpreted happy. You want to be a happy person? He says, do not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Do not stand like sinners stand. Do not act like a sinner acts. He says, watch the progression. You're walking, you're standing, and soon you're sitting in the seat of the scornful. You're sitting in the seat of the scornful. The ideal of scornful is the ideal of those who say there is no God. They mock everything that is God. Watch the progression. He says, don't do it. You want to be the happiest? You want to succeed? You want to be the best you can? Do not sit in the seat of the scornful. Do not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Do not stand in the way of sinners. Do not sit in the seat of the scornful. Those that mock God, you're walking, you're standing, and eventually you'll be sitting mocking God just like everybody else. Got to be careful. We got to choose our friends wisely. That'll preach. If y'all have some preachers out there, you got to do that. Now, here's the other one. Here's number five, and I'm done. You got to stay connected to church. I believe Daniel stayed connected to his God. I think he chose his friends wisely. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego chose them wisely. And then I believe here's the other one, that if we're going, the world going to try to teach a whole lot of stuff, and if we want to stand strong in our faith, when our faith is challenged, we got to stay connected to church. Stay connected to church. Church, and when I say church, small groups, and a ministry. All three are important. Church, get a small group, and ministry. You got to be doing something for the Lord. You got to stay busy for God. And a small group, you got to have a small group that's there to support you. That's why that Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, that's why I encourage folk on Sunday morning that they need a church home. Everybody needs a place to call home because I said Cornerstone Sunday at the 8 o'clock service. And I apologize, but that thing's just been in me for 23 years. Are you hearing me? So it just came out because I'm used to saying Cornerstone. But St. Paul, when I say St. Paul, you might find a church just as good as St. Paul. I almost did it again. As St. Paul, you won't find one any better. Amen. You need a church home where the people of God can put their arms around you to help you to grow and mature in the Lord. They're right with you. You see that they're right theologically, they're right doctrinally, they're right in the area of helping you to grow and mature. And so you got to stay connected to church. You got to get in a small group, and you got to be serving. You should be serving in a ministry. That's why Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, it says, do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, which is the manner of some. In other words, on your outline and that NIV version, let us not give up on meeting together. And listen, you all saw it on Sunday, and I was just talking to Pastor Williams about that, how it was such a blessed day just to be in the house of the Lord, that we where we saw great singing and prayerfully the word went out. Fall void, and we had prayer and we worshiped together. It's nothing like being connected and coming into the house of the Lord. And I know we are on the internet, and I want to suggest to you that once we open up, those of you who can come back to church, because ain't nothing like the fellowship of the saints on Sunday morning. Listen, we saw that Sunday. We saw that when we came into this house, and although we were separated by 6 inches and we separated by pews, listen, it was nothing like it. And somebody told me by testifying, it says, I love your preaching on the internet, and I love watching the internet, but it says, ain't nothing like being in the house, whoo, on a Sunday morning, where folks seem to be smiling and happy and joyful, and you can see the exuberance. Matter of fact, I think I heard somebody doing the children's program start shouting. I just did my heart good just to, be in the fellowship again, to hear somebody shout and tell God, thank you. Are you listening to me? So we got to stay connected to the church. Get in a small group. Get in a Bible study. Get in a small group and get in a ministry. Get with your women's ministry. That's a good small group to be in. Get in your men's ministry. Get in the young adult and the children. Get in those ministries that they'll help you to grow in the Lord. And when the world challenges your faith, you got a group of people, a family, an assembly, a church home that will help you to grow and to mature and mature in the Lord. Are you listening to me? Don't give up on meeting together. That's the habit of some folk. I like that part where it says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, which is the manner of some. What he's suggesting is there are those who discount the worship experience on a Sunday morning as we gather together. I ain't got to go. I don't have to go to church to know the Lord. I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. Well, if you read that verse, that's not true. The Bible says, do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Look, it's something that we get when we assemble together as a body of Christ. There's something that we get that we can't get on any other occasion or any other time, where we're all gathered together as a family of faith, and we're giving God glory and praise, and we're listening to God's word, and we're giving praises and prayers to God, and we look around, and we got brothers and sisters and friends and family who are lifting up the Lord together. It's nothing like it. So it says, so stay connected. You want stay connected. And then, listen, and then that idea of staying connected, it said, God will give you that, it is God's will that you live such a good life that has silenced those who foolishly condemn the gospel without knowing what it can do for them. The idea of that is, beloved, that the best antidote to the skeptic or the critic or those who try to challenge your faith is for us to live right. Just live right, and we'll silence those critics. Just, you can't win them to Christ. They don't want to hear what you got to say. Just do the right thing. Be the right thing. Go to church. Do what you're supposed to do, and it'll silence the critics because they will see that it's working for you. Is that all right to say? And here's the last one, and I'm done. Number 6. When the world challenges your faith, they try to belittle you, remember that God will reward you. Put that on that outline. Remember that God will reward you. Listen, Jesus promises repeatedly over and over that we will receive a reward in eternity for every time that we are harassed on this side. Watch the verse. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all evil against you because of me. Watch what he says. Read, It's crazy. He says, rejoice and be glad. What? When rejoice and be glad, when people persecute you, falsely talk about you, falsely accuse you, he says, rejoice and be glad, because why? Great is your reward in heaven. God is going to reward us when we stand strong for the faith. God will reward. He says, great, handle it, take it. Don't be trying to throw rocks back or fight back or kick down. No, just great will be your reward in heaven. I used to tell a minister of music, Brother DeAndre Roshan, good friend and brother of mine. He's saying, the choir doing it, and they did it. And I say, DeAndre? And he would say, I know. Great will be my reward in heaven. I said, you got to take it, Z. Not because it feels good, not because you're super spiritual, but because God said great will be your reward in heaven. You got to handle it, because great will be your reward in heaven. Don't throw back, don't kick back, don't fight back, don't do all the stuff that people in the world would do. But listen, just stand strong, he says, because why? Rejoice and be glad, because great will be your reward in heaven. Are you listening? Does that make sense? I hope it does for somebody today. So that's my Easter speech, and I'm sticking to it. So we'll move from there. Next week we'll be on lesson 4 in the book of Daniel, and I need you to continue to read chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3 of Daniel, and we'll be back with you next week. Thankful for all those who have gone through the forgiveness class, and although the forgiveness classes ended, I think there were some great classes, and we got some new classes coming up. I pray that you look on our website and call the church office and make sure you get those classes and sign up for those classes. We have a special class on Tuesdays, which is the Doctrine of Ministry, taught by Minister Perseus Poku, and all the other areas will have classes designed for them, and I'll continue to teach on noonday for Bible study as well, and you can replay that sometime during the week if you can't catch it at noon. So also, I need to remind you that now, I know we had church on Sunday, two services, but right now we are not open fully as a church. We're still going to go back to worship online. We haven't opened back up. We did that for Resurrection Sunday. We're going to do it for Mother's Day, and we're going to do it for Father's Day, but we will not open back up. And if you read the news, you'll know that there is a mutant strand that's out there. And I want you to be, I still want us to be careful and follow the CDC guidelines. And as the CDC and the county and then Christ tells us, that's when we will open up. So be patient with us. Our goal is to make sure that everybody is sheltering in place still and wearing their masks. Note that on today, you can get vaccinated, and I believe the Moderna vaccine is here. Last week, the Johnson & Johnson was here, but on today, I think from 11 to 2, you can get vaccinated on today. So I'm encouraging everyone to get vaccinated, because I think as soon as we get vaccinated, I think things will begin to open back up. Note that we had two articles in the paper last week, one on Sunday morning, about our resurrection service, and the Bee did a wonderful job of coming, and you saw a young gentleman taking pictures. There was an article in the paper about the St. Paul worship experience, and then the article about the vaccinations. And so I think the Bee is, I'm just saying, they gave us some favorable press. All right, I'm done. I'll see you Sunday. Pray for your boy. I need prayer. And we are grateful that you tuned in on this day. We love you. And we pray God's choice blessings upon you during the rest of your week. Let's pray together. Most gracious and eternal Father, we love and thank you so much. Thank you for the opportunity to be led down into the deep treasures of your word. Help us as Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Help us to stand strong in our faith. Help us to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in your word, knowing that our labor is not in vain. We pray, God, that as they belittle our faith, that we learn every single day how to be strong. Help us to choose our friends wisely. Help us to be steeped in your word. Help us to make up our mind in the very beginning that we're going to stand for you. We love you, Lord. Give you praise. And we know that you will reward us in the end. It is in Jesus' name we pray. And together, every child of God said amen. Amen. We'll see you next week. God bless you. Amen. We did all right.